Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to TCI Express Limited's Q3 and FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Navin Agrawal, Head Institutional Equities at SKP Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to welcome you on behalf of TCI Express and SKP Securities to this Q3 FY24 financial results con call of TCI Express Limited. We have with us Mr. Chandra Agarwal, Managing Director, along with his colleagues, Mr. Muktilal, CFO, Mr. Pavitra Mohan Panda, COO, Surface, and Mr. Hemant Srivastava, COO, Express Business, Non-Surface. We'll have the opening remarks from Mr. Agarwal followed by a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Chandra ji.
Thank you, Navin ji. Good evening and welcome, everyone, to Q3 and nine-month financial year 2024 earnings conference call of TCI Express Limited. I would like to thank you all for joining us here today, and I hope you and your family are staying safe and healthy. We have already circulated our earnings presentation and press release on our website and stock exchanges. I hope you all had a chance to review it. To start with, I will give you an overview of business trend and performance, and then we'll hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Mukti, to brief on our financial performance for the quarter and nine-month financial year 2024. Let me begin by providing a brief overview of the economic landscape in which we are operating during the third quarter of financial 2024. The operating environment in the third quarter remains challenging as we continue to face headwinds stemming from muted festive demand and an extended holiday season. Despite these challenges, TCI Express has demonstrated resilience and agility in navigating the market dynamics. With a combination of a strong customer mix base along with an unmatched network and efficiency, we have maintained stable profitability and margins, outperforming industry peers. In line with our shareholder-friendly capital allocation policy, the Board of Directors has recommended a second interim dividend of rupees 3 per share. This brings the total dividend for the nine-month financial year 2024, rupees 6 per share, representing a payout of 300% of the face value, reaffirming our commitment to delivering value to our shareholders. Moving to a brief update on business developments. Among our newly launched services, Rail Express has gained substantial traction from customers. We have successfully expanded our customer base to 4,000, covering 125 routes to meet the growing demand. These services are expected to contribute positively to our top line in the coming quarters, enabling us to achieve higher margin levels and growth. I'm delighted to share that the ongoing construction of the Pune Sorting Center is progressing as planned and is set to become operational in March 2024. As far as our future focus is concerned, we will continue to invest in technology and automation to drive a more efficient operation and provide superior customer service. Over the nine-month financial 2024, we have incurred a total CapEx of 25 crores. The CapEx was primarily spent towards expanding our branch network, automation, and ramping up our IT infrastructure. During nine-month financial 2024, we expanded our footprint by adding 15 new branches in the West and North regions to cater to the growing demand with unparalleled services. Our strategic investments in technology and infrastructure have been instrumental in streamlining our operations, ensuring that we remain in the forefront of the industry. Furthermore, I'm happy to share that we were honored to be selected as India's top 500 value creator company by Dun & Bradstreet. Additionally, we have received recognition from the CII Institute of Logistics for our exceptional implementation of AI, that is, artificial intelligence, in our business operations, earning the prestigious CII Scale Award 23 in the Express Courier category. This accolade underscores our unwavering commitment to innovation, technology advancements, and sustainable practices. In our continued effort and pursuit of people-first approach, we have been again certified a great place to work for fourth consecutive year. And it's a true validation of our commitment of fostering a positive open work environment. As we look ahead, the sector is poised for good growth and propelled by government infrastructure and policy initiatives for the development of transportation infrastructure, particularly in relation to major freight routes, logistics parks, and road and railway and highway connectivity. In this favorable industry trend, we are confident in our ability to capitalize on the exciting opportunities in the Indian logistics market and to create long-term value for our stakeholders. With this, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Mukti to talk about our financial performance for the last quarter.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Now I would like to discuss the financial performance of the company. Our managing director has already highlighted the development of during this quarter, and I will delve into the financial aspects. During the quarter, our revenue from operations stood at rupees 312 crore for Q3 24, as against compared to 320 crore in a Q2 of this year and 314 crore rupees in the same quarter of last year. And despite continued headwind on account of muted festive season, festive demand and long holiday season during the quarter and the high base effect also playing out this year from a year-on-year numbers perspective, though we maintained profit margin intact, the EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 48 crore with margin of 15.1%. Our profit after tax for the quarter stood at rupees 32 crore with a margin of 10.3%. Overall, on the 9 months FY24, our revenue from operation was 937 crore as compared to rupees 915 crore same period last year, registering a year-on-year growth of 2.5%. The EBITDA for the period was rupees 148 crore with the margin of 15.7%, and profit after tax was 100 crore with margin of 10.6%. As a result of continued focus on revenue quality and profit growth, we ended the quarter with generating a cash flow from operation of rupees 75 crore and then continue to generate solid cash flow to fund our strategic growth plan. Our commitment remains rooted in balanced growth and revenue quality. With the additional automation unlock and flexibility across our network, we remain confident in our ability to capitalize on opportunities and solidify our leadership position with industry-leading services. So thank you very much, everyone. And now I would like to open the floor for question and answer. Over to you, moderator.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Jainam Shah from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, the first question is related to a few data points. So if you can provide the volume number for the current quarter.
Yeah, so volume numbers are 2.5 lakh ton for this quarter and 7.42 lakh ton for the 9 month figure.
Okay, sir. Okay, got it. Sir, we have done CapEx of around 25 CR in the 9 months. So what we are targeting for the fourth quarter and for the next year? And are you intact for 500 crore of CapEx over FY23 to FY28?
Yes. So basically, we have taken a target of 5 years in FY23. So it is including FY23, which in we spent 125 crore rupees. And in this year, we hopefully, I think, we will be sent around 15 more crore, so 40 crore total for this year. So it become 165 crore, and remainder part of 335 crore rupees we will be spent in next 3 years, FY25, 26, 27.
Okay, sir. Okay. And sir, contribution from the newer services would be how much percentage this quarter?
So this quarter contribution from this newer service is also like remains same, is around 17-17.5% what we have in last quarter as well.
Okay, sir. And so coming to the margin part, so our margin has dropped sequentially during this quarter. So any specific reason to that?
So, you know, this is basically, if you see revenue numbers are, if you compare with the last year, if there is a like slightly less revenue, so utilization level of truck is usually drop. So in this quarter, we have like 83.5% utilization level. And that's why if you compare with the last year's same quarter, we enhance this EBITDA margin by 10 basis points. So that's why it's okay.
Okay, and sir, over a medium to long-term target for the margin, how we are expecting? Because in this 9 months number, it is somewhere around 15.5%.
So again, we are hopeful to be like Q4 must be like, you know, on a good note. And we are seeing the traction in like January and February month. But we are not much hopeful like, you know, like double-digit kind of growth, obviously. So the similar way. This year is like, you know, challenging year. Everyone in this industry, if you see, everyone faces the challenge on volume growth. But good thing in our company, like, you know, revenue is the, like, we grown 2.5% in 9 months, but we also intact our margin level, whereas every industry player has been, you know, taken a big hit on their margin levels. They have, you know, fallen down heavily.
Yes, sir, correct, correct. And so just last question from my side, in medium to long term, how you are projecting our revenue or rather volume growth, given that there will be first quarter for the next year will be more of an election quarter. So post that, how we are expecting the ramp up in the volumes over a medium to long term?
So I refer this question to our MD, Chandra sir.
Can you just reply on that, please?
So the if you look at the next quarter, you know, it's quite clear that looking at the way the economy is moving, we will be expecting, I think the numbers would be the same. And there isn't any large, there could be an uptake of maybe 0.5% or more. I do not see a large uptake because, again, the situation on the ground is very different from how it is shown in the on television or whatever. So, yes.
Okay, sir. Okay. And sir, medium to long term, are we having that 2x of GDP growth target going forward as well?
Yeah, that's not going to change. Like I have always mentioned that, you know, looking at the situation, the economic situation, you know, of that particular year, in that time period, one has to always monitor. And our fundamentals are always intact, you know, and then that's why we're able to maintain double-digit margins for so long. So I don't think there is any problem structurally or, you know, micro problem that we have. It's a problem of just the economy and its demand.
Okay, sir. Got it, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Alok Deora from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good evening. Just a couple of questions first, similar to the earlier question. So sir, this year has been pretty challenging as we see for the industry as well as for us. Next year, could it be a case where we gradually improve on this and then we go back towards our double-digit kind of a growth target? Is that a very much possibility now? Because considering that we'll be entering the election year and things could be slower in the first half of the year and then ramps up in the second half.
So we have to consider three things. First of all, inflation rate, how much it comes down. And then the interest rate, most important. And number three is the fuel charges. So all these, even though the fuel charge is passed on, but ultimately someone is not really, you know, benefiting from it. It's not like the airline where you only have two players and or one player where they can just charge what they want and get away with. So I think in our case, we have to also see and understand how the demand picks up, what the government is turning out, you know, in terms of its fiscal policy, post-election and all of that. So I think it's a wait-and-watch situation. Very early to comment, because gone are the days when, you know, we would know for a fact that this is how things are going to play out. This is how things are going to be laid out. You know, it was very predictable, but now things are very different.
Sure. And, sir, on this margins, we have seen almost flattish sort of a quarterly revenue, QOQ revenue, and the margins have come off by nearly 150 basis points. So any one-off in this, can we expect it to go back towards the 15.5% sort of a range? I'm talking about excluding other income. 15.5% sort of a margins in Q4 onwards?
Any improvement? I think half a percent and more will be achievable in this quarter. Is no problem. And yes.
Sure. Just one last question. So, you know, earlier we had mentioned that the new segments, as they ramp up, we see the overall margins also improving. So that remains, or is it a little more competitive scenario now where margins would be kind of restricted in the 15-16% range? That's also.
No, margins are not affected because of any competition. It is only affected because of the demand and the economic situation. So we have, I think, getting back to the same scenario would be very would be possible, as you know, the fiscal policy of the government also eases, and it kind of like, you know, changes. So I think it'll happen. It's not like it's all shut and things won't change.
Got it, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amit Dixit from ICICI. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a stable set of numbers in a very challenging environment. I have a couple of questions, sir. The first one is, if I again harping on the same volume question, if I look at 9-month volume growth, it is like almost 1.6%, and you highlighted that the next quarter would also be in the similar lines. So what do we expect volume growth for this year to be? Roughly 2% or something, and next year, because of the election, election in the first quarter itself, can we pencil in a volume growth, let us say, of 5-6% or something like that, or do you see some other tailwind, helping you?
Yeah, Mukti?
Yeah, so basically, you know, in this year too, we are seeing like not more than like, you know, 3-4% kind of volume growth in this Q4. And obviously, we are not also asking for the rate hikes. This is a challenging scenario. Next year, yes, it is too early to comment on, you know, like first quarter. Obviously, there's an election on a whole year. And, you know, this challenging in like, if you see in the North India now, the farmers on a road, actually, they blocked everything. So it's kind of challenges also coming. So sometimes we are not able to even see. In last quarter also, you know, it's like interesting. Last day of the like month, you know, this December month is always on a better one for every industry player, and we get the highest business on a last day. And in this quarter, last day was a Sunday, so that Saturday Sunday, you know, there is a long holiday, so we ultimately impacted the like kind of volumes. So in this quarter, yes, we will be anticipating again low value, you know, low single digit kind of growth, and obviously finish the year obviously in a, you know, in the range of like 4-5% volume. Next year we anticipating, you know, in the range of 11-13% as a volume, and revenue may be like more than 1-2% price hikes in general. Due to that high inflation, we will be asked to customers. Let's see how this will be played out, because again depending on the demand scenario and various factors.
Okay, very clear, sir. The second question is essentially, what kind of operating environment you see in different segments that you operate? Are there any sweet pockets you see, or there are challenges throughout, or some segments that that had temporary slowdown that you can share? Just a segmental flavor would be nice, sir.
Chandra sir, you would like to answer?
Sure. The most important thing is that the favorable segment is obviously surface segment that, you know, we are doing. And other segments which are really catching up are, for example, the rail segment. So the impetus will be only on the surface segment where we are market leaders. And at the same time, our growth plans are to further expand into, you know, other locations within India to expand more offices and have a higher, you know, base of salespeople. So essentially what it means is that unlike other companies which rely on franchise and everything, we will be able to have a wider scope of control across our customers and our people. So I think this will be a really helpful factor going forward. And we have already started working in terms of how the business has to be kind of, you know, attained from other competition. In fact, we will be launching another new service in the next 1 week or something where we will publicly announce about it.
Okay, great. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Chandraji. Sir, my main concern about TCI Express is there because I am shareholder since last many years. Our bottom line is stagnant since December 2020 quarter. It is going around 30 crore bottom line. So asking when growth possible, because in last year GDP and size of our country GDP has been rising, and we did Gurgaon sorting center started, and Pune is about to start, but growth is not coming.
So Mukti?
Yes, sir. So, you know, I think you mentioned like quarter December 2020, right, sir?
Yeah.
So I have not the number with me, but, you know, 2020, that was, you know, that year was COVID year. I really not seen the number that was with like around 30 crore rupees, but yes.
Sir, so I have number 34 in December, March 43, again June 21, 24. September 34, then 35, 36, 31, 38, 32, 38, 32, 36. Now that these are the stagnant net profit in between 30 to 35 crore. In spite of our thing in 3 years, our GDP has risen. Our everything you are doing in a right direction, but bottom line is not coming.
No, so basically, you know, if you see like margin levels are almost same, kind of we are not able to improve. That is the reason is there, you know, like revenue is, you know, basically is not growing due to these all, you know, this year, whatever happened. Otherwise, so this all are like intact. We tried hard to be get branch addition. We tried hard to be like expansion and a new similar kind of services. So that we will be keep continue that story.
But story is there, but bottom line is not coming. That is my main, my concern. And we have did 2050 buyback also. And you see what is the share price now. You are giving good dividend, but it is not working in the system ki our net profit rises.
So I can say on that sense, I can say like we are the like all most consistent company. Other companies like doing one quarter is good one and next quarter may be fallen down like 40%. But our company's operations, our company's revenue, our company's customer base is intact and in all, even on challenges time, we maintain that. That I can say in this time only. You know?
Okay.
So, and we are still, if you see the graph, our PAT level margin, no competition even in near to us. So that level sometime, yes, you are rightly said because in I think in one single year, in COVID year, we've grown our margin level from 12% to 16% in a single year. So that's also like, supposing we grow on a 100 basis point in each year, and that year we did well and grow on like 400 basis point and then subsequently maintained that. So you can say the sustainability is also important on some time, and obviously the like this year was specifically, you know, headwind in a business, and there is in a growth scenario was not so good for everyone, and still we are in, you know, this year everyone's margin has fallen down heavily in the range of like 40-50%, but you know, our team has did very well, and we even in this challenging time in the same kind of like revenue, in spite of increase in like manpower cost and slightly other cost and depreciation, we are able to maintain our PAT level margin. So this is showing on a different you know, testament for our company and sustainability we giving to market.
And I remember before 3 or 4 years before, Chandra has expected our company will grow 3 to 4 times in next 3 years or 4 years, but it is not happening. That's why I'm asking, what is the going on in the company? These are
yes, Nathan, I would like to comment that first of all, we are, of course, like I always mentioned, depending on the economy, how it's going. And I think you are well aware also that the economy is not doing as well. See, GDP growth and stock market growth are two different things. Within
no,
the
no,
GDP
I'm not growth, concerning with the stock market growth. GDP is growth, there, GDP is going, GST collection
is going. Negative, then it came to 2.5%, then to 5%. You know, then what the number will be at the end of the year, nobody knows. So I think you have to really look at the, if you go in detail, what part of the GDP is increasing. Manufacturing is not increasing. Consumption is increasing. Services is not increasing. Farming is increasing. So you have to really break down and then see where is it that we can really have the opportunity going forward. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from Krupa Shankar from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and thank you for the opportunity. So my first question would be on the express business. Just wanted to understand, in the October month, we had roughly a load factor of about 85%. But towards the end of the quarter, you know, it's closer to about 83.5%. So just wanted to understand, was there over capacity of trucks which we had deployed on the network, due to which the margins have declined sharply? Because last year, I think around third quarter, we had mentioned that that was one of the reasons. Is that the case?
Your voice is not clear, Kapasankar. What, can you just kindly repeat again? Your voice is not clear.
Is this better, sir?
Yeah, this side now better.
Yeah, I just wanted to check that our load factors had come off from 85% in October to overall for the third quarter at around 83.5%.
Yeah.
So given that last year, I think we had similar challenges wherein we had deployed higher capacity on trucks and that went underutilized. Was that some sort of event this time around as well, wherein you know, we have faced some challenges with respect to utilization in the month of November and December?
Yeah. So you rightly said. Yeah, I got it now. So basically, you know, November again after Deepavali, that was in a reduction in heavily on business volumes, because you know, western part of like Gujarat is closely down, you know, completely shut down for the like 5-7 days, and other part of country also there is in a low volume. And then surprisingly, you know, this time December was also not picked up the volume, and that's why this you know, this utilization level is in the range of like 83.5 to 84%.
Got it. So if I were to look at, you know, while you had mentioned earlier that the newer services has, especially Rail Express, has done well, while the contribution is more or less, I would say, not changed that materially. Is there any trend of what is the growth in that business which can highlight?
So we are not like, you know, giving the figure, because this is not significant amount, but yes, it is contributing. That's why if you see my margin level, in spite of flattest growth,
margin has been maintained. You know, otherwise there isn't a drop in margin, because there isn't a two or three reasons for that. One is like contribution from these new services, which is higher profit. You know, okay, you can say like similar kind of margin level which we have in surface, and other one like, you know, so air business like also, you know, growing. So that is also, you know, help us to be. And simultaneously, you know, interestingly, SME business in this time, you know, big customers business is slightly, you know, less dispenses in comparison to SMEs, and SMEs has a higher composition. So in this quarter, we have maintained a ratio of like, instead of 50-50, it is around 52% to 48%. So that will also help us to be like maintain the margin level.
Okay. Okay. But sir, if I were to just look at, you know, the disclosures with respect to receivable days and net working capital days, I think that has gone up despite SME proportion being higher. So is it fair to assume that the competitive intensity has gone up quite substantially because there's lack of pricing power, there's limited tonnage growth in the underlying industry? So is it possible that that sort of a trend continuing going ahead as well, which may put a pressure on your guidance for FY25?
So I am just giving comment on that. It's not that much. Actually, it's a very simple. Actually, these last 2 days was a holiday in this quarter. Usually, we're getting the highest money in last days. So that's the only reason. It is already normalized in January month. So nothing is kind of that. Because our cash flow issue since last two decades, you see, is a very, very robust. There is no challenge on that. So that is already normalized, and hopefully that's the same way, kind of like 50 days, receivable days would be come in March, you know, this quarter.
And competition has got into the, they're already there or whatever there for 15 years. They're already losing money and lost money or whatever it might be. And they are at the, not at the same express level. They're at the lower level. They do more of the FTL and all that. So I think one should always understand that two things. Why the difference in our yield, our margins compared to other customer is because we are in the high value segment. And number two is because we have the experience for being in the business. In the formal business, or rather the organized segment, for a long period of time.
Understood that, Chandraji. But so what my thought process, and correct me if I'm wrong, there has been a massive emphasis placed by the industry on cracking the SME code over the last 2 years. And in light of that, we would have anticipated that as a substantial increase in the competition, given everyone is expanding brand center as such. So just wanted to check if that would be one of the reasons why the tonnage growth has also come off.
No, see, again, tonnage growth and all this, again, function of economy, which is a function of inflation and high interest rate. We must keep that in mind. And number one. Number two, the consuming people that derive the demand are not just you and me. The majority of the population who are not able to really, you know, make ends meet. So we have to really see big down, and if you big down and see where the opportunity lies and how we will capture it and how we are capturing it. And one important thing is to note is that the what you mentioned, that I don't think that the demand or the emphasis is ever on you know, rather the emphasis is not on the just the pricing. It is also the service level. What level of service you're able to give, how fast you're able to give. By getting a 50-footer truck, I don't think service level changes. Because again, what you mentioned about the number of branches, if you really go out in the field and you see who has the branches, who doesn't have the branches, who claims to have branches, is all evident. So I think it's a very, it's today, thanks to the government, we are able to see everything is in the open. Everything is highlighted. What is actually present and what is not present. Companies have 3,000-4,000 crore lying in their bank account from their investors. So they earn interest on that. and they show profit from that. So there are multiple factors, you know, that, but yet they're not able to pay dividend. So there are multiple factors that come into play. And realistically, for sustainability, all that little bit of here and there is not going to help anyone long term.
Understood. Last question, if I may. Just wanted to check, is there any way in which we can provide zone-wise growth? Because we have been adding branches in the north and the west region. So how would have, what would have been the contribution about 3-4 years back versus now? Is that possible to be provided on the call?
No, so basically, you know, zone-wise, we always try to be make a balance. Otherwise, you know, my utilization level of truck will be fallen down. So that's why we never like increasing any kind of disbalance on a business. You know, so again, you know, 85% business is coming from three zones, west, south and north, and 15% from eastern zone, as you are aware, like eastern zone is nothing producing and just they consuming. So more business is zone originating from these three zones. But still, because we have the like, you know, branch, huge branch, our own branch network. That's why we are able to generate the business from SME customer. You know, this is a key to generate the business from SMEs like branch network, own branch network. Supposing somebody has the like, you know, franchisee, then they are not interested to do the small, you know, small businesses. They are targeting big customer and big volume and, you know, that's why so. In our case, we have our own branches, and that's why we are able to maintain the like, kind of this still is like above the industry level, this utilization level of, you know, this our fleet utilization basically. So this is very important, you know, to generate the business from SME, we need a kind of branch network.
Thanks for answering my questions. All the best.
Thank you very much. Participants are requested to limit themselves to 2 questions. In case they have more questions, requested to rejoin the queue. Time permitting, we will come back to you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Agarwal from Leo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, you alluded to that as a response to the last question. For the MSME and retail business, do we give any credit in the market? That's question one. And second, what has been the reason why we have been very successful there? Because a lot of competitors, like you said, talk about building the SME business, whether it is a newly listed startup or the legacy players, but they haven't seen much success. So what differentiates us there and what will keep us there? If you can answer both of those.
Chandra sir would like answer?
Sure. So legacy players like us, we have the experience and we have the knowledge. So I think that makes a big difference. And we never needed massive amounts of capital to really get the business going on the ground. I think it's a matter of not rupees and paisa, but it's a matter of experience and knowledge. So I think that really makes us the leader in this line of business.
And for MSME, do you give any credit in the market?
So SME, you know, yeah, we giving like out of this 50%, we giving just like few customers of like 30% out of 50. We giving the credit, which is also like short credit, and remainder part of like we receiving at the time of delivery, either on at the time of delivery or at the time of booking.
So I think 30% of the 50, which means 15% of the overall you give credit, and then the 50% which is key accounts you have to give credit.
Yes.
And short credit meaning how many days of credit?
You know, like below 30 days.
Got it. And how many routes do we currently operate in the express business?
How many routes? I think we already given in our, you know, presentation there. There's a different kind of routes like, you know, from branch to hub and then express, you know, that we have given there.
Yeah, no, I think there are 500 express routes and 2,000 feeder routes in one of the earlier presentations. Is that the right number?
Yeah, that's the right number.
And so 500 express routes, and what was this number 3 years back? Have you added routes in the last 3 years?
No, so if you see, you know, that landscape of is not increasing. Maybe like
4-5% may be okay, but numbers is almost same because Root is, we are the like 20-year-old company and we already established the network. So we going denser, but not increasing that route. The volume is increasing on that route basically. So branch expansion happening on a like, you know, going denser in a city, you know, tier 2, tier 3 or tier 1. But routes are also like same.
Understand. And one last question.
Sorry to interrupt you. Please come back for a follow-up question. A request to all the participants, please stick to 2 questions per participant and join the queue again for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Mayur from Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
So, sir,
Mayur, your voice
understand.
Is coming a little feeble. Can you please speak through the handset?
Yeah, I am on the handset itself. Now is it audible?
There is a slight disturbance from your line, Mayur.
Now is it okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. So, sir, I understand that due to low growth, we are slightly on the defensive side and, you know, based on what we have been guiding. But again, just first question on mine is, sir, we had the call, in the Q3 itself after a month of that passing. That time also you were pretty confident about the H2 being much better than H1, the SME growth was taking off, our capex plan even for H2 was 60 crores cumulatively we had planned. Now we have only put 5 crores in Q2 and we are saying 15 crores only in the next quarter, so it's only 20 crores, and this is only with the change within 3 months. I'm saying our FY25 target was also 1700 odd crores after downgrading it substantially, and now we are talking of only 10-11% growth, that also standing today on a low base. So, sir, what has changed in these 3 months which has led to such a sharp fall in the growth outlook and you being on the cautious note?
Yeah, so this is a good question basically. So I will be clarify on a one by one. So first I will be take the like capex part. So capex part, you rightly said, we plan to buy in one land parcel, parcel, and that yet not actually materialized. That's the only reason we have not able to like put into in place, and that's the only one reason. And remaining capex, like we plan for the automation of Pune sorting center, this is already online with. We will be start that operation in March month, and then subsequently we will be like streamline the operations of that. Second part, like October, you rightly said October. I think we met in a, like 17 October. We were on a con call, and that was pre Deepavali month, and everything was looks very very rosy, and growth was very good on October. But again, in a subsequent month, like November, there was a sharp reduction in volumes. And interestingly, as I mentioned in last question also, like December was surprisingly, volume had not picked up. Because last week of that month is also like, washed out, because there was last Sunday, Saturday and all there, and long shutdown of, all factories and all. So big customers' volumes or dispatches has been dropped out. Heavily drop, and SMEs was maintained, so that's why our revenue wasn't like intact, and margin level is also like intact. Q4 again, because we that's the pattern is going on, that's why we are not excited about, more optimistic about the like uptake in any volume in this quarter. That's why we are slightly cautious, because if this pattern is not improving in overall in manufacturing side, you see the like factory output number and you see the like other numbers related to that. So scenario is like that, and next year, yes, there is an election year, so we are more cautious about that, because it's too early to say something on that part. So that's the only reason we have.
Sir, this is not a question of clarification for the moderator, but sir, when you say cautious approach, you mean 10-11% growth, or you mean even lower than that?
For next year?
Yes.
Yeah, we will be like, we will be get, double-digit growth in next year.
Okay, okay. Okay, great. Sir, the second question from my side actually to Mr. Agarwal, actually, is a slightly more broader question. Sir, logistics as a percentage of GDP is expected to fall because of efficiency, right, broadly. That, but the scale for organized players and opportunity will grow up. We understand that, right? But sir, on a slightly broader basis, do you believe that at some point in time, we will have to relook our strategy of growth versus margins? We understand you are the top launch at the margin of 10% net profit margin. I don't know, but no logistics player has achieved, and for long you have been doing that. But then there are top line growth some companies are still showing. I'm talking of operational growth, forget other income and profits. But top line growth, so is it that at some point in time, with efficiency, customers would ask for lower pricing? We understand that inflation is there. But do you think there will be a case for us to relook this strategy of growth versus margins over the next 2-3 years?
Let me start by saying that logistics cost is, whatever reason you said, is not a function of that. Logistics cost is a function of the cost of fuel. Okay? India, cost of fuel will always be high. So please always keep that in mind. Number two, we are not substituting profit for top line growth. I want to be very clear, and I want to be extremely transparent about it, that we are not doing any of that. The point is that India saw good economic growth after GST was launched in 2016. Okay, since then, it has, since 2019, it has fallen. Number one. Number three, if in India, if you give up your margin, it will never come back. 15 years, companies are trying to make profit. They have not made profit. 8 years, companies which were acquired here, they have tried to turn around. They are not able to turn around. So I don't think it's a direct correlation of top line growth and bottom line growth. It's a question of the state of affairs of the economy. We can be a normal, regular FTL player and have 20-30,000 crore revenue as a group is no problem. But what will be the margin? It will be lesser than what we are making. So we have to be very cautious in not diluting what we want to achieve as a company and as for the shareholders.
Thank you very much. Mayur, I'll request to come back for a follow-up question. I request to all the participants, please stick to 2 questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Patni from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. And sir, in line with your answer which you just gave, so sir, what has to change in the sector for companies like yours to both grow reasonable as well as generate the profitability that you are doing? Do you think something needs to change in the industry? Do you think it's just a function of, you know, some weaker hands going away and everybody else getting better pricing power? So I'm it is, you know, very, very high level, but what do you think needs to change? Because, you know, it's never both growth and profitability coming together. So what would be your answer?
What needs to change is that the unorganized segment has to, the share has to come down, which is happening. Which is happening very strongly, which is being controlled by the government. And I think this will be a major factor for the benefit to come in. I don't think that any company or any organization would like to give up either or. So in essence, you have some companies, you know, which have been trying to do everything and possibly acquisitions and all that, and yet not even 1 rupee they're able to make. So I think where we want to be is something that we have already planned out. And numbers can, of course, come down and go up only because of the fact that the environment that we operate in. All the large logistics groups also in the country are not posting any very high 10 double digit growth or anything like that. So we should be always mindful of the reasons, the real reasons behind what is happening.
Sure, sir. And sir, maybe I can follow up with one more question. In light of that, and obviously, you know, you spoke about, you know, growth in terms of GDP versus, you know, what market is building in could be very different. But as you are doing your capacity planning, say, for the next 2-3 years, in light of all this talk about, you know, manufacturing growth in GDP and things like that, how are you looking at how you want to grow your capacity over this period?
What do you mean by capacity? Capacity of what? Sorting centers or trucks?
Yes, it's a truck sortation centers. Like overall,
I don't plan on trucks. We don't plan on trucks because that is not part of our asset proposition. Mm-hmm. We do not own any trucks. We don't pay emphasis. We don't lay emphasis on an asset which is money losing. We pay emphasis on how our capital value can be increased by doing automation in our existing sorting centers. I think already it is mentioned that we would be automatizing about 10 sorting centers going forward.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
And you should come and have a look at the one that we have in Delhi. So, you know, it'll have a fairly good understanding of exactly what the logistics, how the logistics landscape is.
Sure, we'll do that, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Lokesh Manik from Vallum Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening to the team. My question, Chandra, was on your initial remarks on the subdued environment, macro environment. So would you be able to share as to which sectors have seen subdued growth? You know, is it more concentrated to a particular sector, or you know, is it more broad based in nature? If you share something on that, it will be great.
Yeah, Mukti and Pavitra, please.
So basically, you know, we've seen that like except pharma and engineering, all sector like you know, impacted by this is subdued environment. Like if you talk about you know, electronics, if you talk about, you know, textile and lifestyle products, because discretionary purchase is still not happening. And yeah, similar way, so all sectors impacted except these two sectors, but otherwise, you know, all, you know, remaining sectors are impacted one, yeah.
That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Agarwal from Leo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking the question again. How much is the yield difference for us between the MSME accounts and the key accounts? And are these accounts both served by the same team and the same branch network, or is the branch network mainly for MSME clients and key accounts are handled centrally?
So this is very good question. So basically, you know, network is both customer is same on longer haul, obviously. We're going like we have the hub and spoke model where we collect the cargo at branch level and then consolidate that and then, you know, forward to origin sorting center. And then along longer haul, we sending the full, you know, this longer haul. And then from that location to, you know, delivery location and then customer. So, you know, that fundamentally is the same kind of network we are operating. And obviously there is a huge price difference, or you can say like sometimes more than 20% price difference in between these two kind of customers.
Understand. And you said the middle mile is common because on the long haul it's the same, but in terms of sales representatives or in terms of pickup infrastructure and all, is that different for both of these?
Yes, you rightly said. So basically, you know, branches are the main source to be like make the, you know, marketing for the small customer because they need to go door-to-door in a nearby area and ask for the business and, you know, visit the all small factories and everything. For big customer, we have a like big, you know, team at all the level of controlling level, region level, and you know, this corporate office level. They like we're pitching to like the customers and everywhere.
And how many branches do we have, and how many sales team members do we have in the central team for the big customer?
So we have a branch network is of 950 branches we have, and central team put together like around 200 persons we have.
Got it. So I think the sales
network is very different. I'll request to come back for a follow up, please. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akash from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question was...
Akash, your voice is not coming.
Yeah, is it better?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my question was, the margin guidance that you all had given, that with a lot of automation, operational efficiency coming through the new sorting centers, our margins will eventually improve to, you know, almost 17.5 to 18%. But now, I think we have changed our stance. I mean, would like to know the reason, sir.
Your voice was not clear. Can you come again, please? I'm not able to understand whole question what you asked.
So the line for the participant dropped. We'll move to the next participant.
Yeah.
The next question is from the line of Anshul Agarwal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Our FY25 target for new services as a percentage of contribution to top line is 25%, while we are currently at around 17.5%. So, how do you plan to reach there? Is my question. And if you could just give some understanding about the margin profile of these new services, are they intact at around 20% currently?
So no, so basically if you see higher margin level is like almost 2.5% higher than, you know, other services, and specifically like you know, like air and rail is a higher margin in comparison to slide, you know, in surface. So and I think that would be share of services may not be like increased more than 20% in next year. Yeah.
Great. So last question from my side. After Pune, which are the hubs are we planning to automate, and by when? That would be all from my side.
Yeah, so basically next would be like, you know, Ahmedabad and, you know, Mumbai, Chennai, but Ahmedabad construction will be soon start. There is an, you know, I think in this next year, FY25, we will be start the construction and then we will put the capex there, the automation. And then obviously subsequently followed by Chennai and Mumbai.
So Chennai and Mumbai will start in 26?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Ronald from Sher Khan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Good evening, sir. Sir, I wanted your views on, you know, kind of growth we are seeing. Like,
Ronald, your voice is not coming clearly. Can you please speak through the handset?
Now is it audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So, sir, I just wanted your views on the kind of growth we are seeing. Like, we have been seeing more of a government-led capex and manufacturing capex has been slow, private capex has been slow. So, one thing on that growth that whether we can, you know, cater to this kind of government capex-related growth maybe into infra segments or, say, EV segments or such kind of segments where government-led investments are there. And second one on the growth versus, you know, the consumption pattern. Like, we have been seeing, you know, consumption at malls or, say, at those points, you know, remaining high for, say, lifestyle or garments or those kind of things. But a small MSME shops or SME shops are not showing that kind of growth. So, you know, how you can you, you know, maneuver these things with respect to private and government capex and, you know, a premium luxury mall catering to those and mom and pop stores?
Yeah, Chandrasekhar would like answer.
Chandrasekhar, I believe your line is on mute.
In general, I think the growth that we have seen now, the profitability that has also come is because of the SME sector. And we have been fortunate that the margins were maintained because of that. And in general, what I also understand that going forward, the trend will remain the same. The customer that is about to, you know, that is a small-time customer, or I should not say small-time, but small customer SME, always has this one desire that his material reaches on time, reaches safely, you know, and reaches without damage, and there is, you know, someone who can listen to them. So that customer base will always remain. And I think this will be, and with our ever-expanding branch network, you know, we as and as per what we had planned, this will be a very important, they will have an important role to play going forward.
Okay, sir. And your view on government and private capital?
So the CapEx, what, as you very rightly said, that it's not at all happening. No new industries are coming up. And, you know, even the current manufacturing, people are not expanding the manufacturing base. We have heard about the PLIs and all that. But on the real ground, it's very different. So I think going forward, even what the government has planned is to first build the basic infrastructure of the roadways and the highways. And then they will look at, you know, essentially, possibly, hopefully, looking at even lowering the cost of fuel, which I think will be the major reason for overall economic growth and prosperity.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take the last question for the evening from the line of Lokesh Maru from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. So a few questions from my side. One is, what would be the average fleet size that we'll be using in our mid-mile segment, the larger trucks, I mean, from up to hubs?
So majorly, yeah, I am answering on that. So major truck, maximum utilize, you know, maximum size of that truck is 18 ton. And on few routes, we also. So you can take average like 15 or 16 ton average on mid-mile.
No, sir. I mean, when we say 83.5% utilization, what would be the number of trucks that we would deploy on the mid-mile side of our business?
Yeah, so we give a number on our presentation is around, I think, 2,000 numbers of truck, which we, you know, putting on that mid-mile.
Okay, sir. Sir, next question is on the line of given our research, investments within fixed assets that we are doing for the first time, which is in terms of sortation centers, right, the conveyors. So let's say we have just done one and then second is underway. Once at least 10 of them are automated, to our mind, what is the kind of return on this investment that we envisage in terms of could be 400, 500 crores that we invested? We get operational efficiency, but then when it flows to the bottom line, is it 20% kind of return on our capital employed? Is it 30% kind of return? So how do we measure that? What is the evaluation aspect of it?
Yeah, so this is very good question. Basically, you know, these all are the sorting centers, new age sorting centers are basically backbone of all our operation, and we want to be improved, like more efficiency, and want to reduce the turnaround time for cargo from across India. Because now it's just we dealing with only one center, and now the second is underway, you rightly said. So after that, we will be seeing the more benefit, because then probability of correctness, probability of time is there. Because we will be, as you we mentioned in last time, there is a reduction of, you know, halting time has been heavily, we reduce almost 60% time in this center. So next center will be also helping us, and once we will be reach on these 10 centers, then we'll be in a much better way, we'll be execute the like cargo. So that sense, you know, these, and another aspect of these, because we building up this center for like 15-20 years, not for the like short term of, you know, medium term of 5 to 6 years. So obviously in near term, you know, returns are slightly less, but ultimately we want to be like payback period of 6 to 7 year max for these centers. You know, the life it is of these centers of life is like 15 to 20 year at least for every center.
Okay, sir. Understood. So we are looking at it from more from a long term point of view, long term benefits of the investment point of view. Okay.
Yeah.
So is, can I squeeze one last question?
Please.
So would there be any differential in growth rate in terms of volumes in last 3 years with the industry leader, the closest industry leader, and why would that be? That's all from my side. Thanks.
Sorry, come again. We couldn't last you.
Would there be any differential in growth rate in terms of volume in last 3 years with our industry leaders, right, the one serving the same segment, would there be a differential in growth rate volume terms in last 3 years, and why would that be in your reading or your observation?
I'm really not able to understand what you want to try to ask, actually.
So, given our volume growth in last 3 years, would it be substantially different from volume growth of the industry leader operating in the express segment?
Yeah, it is, yes. So, basically, if you see what kind of environment we are operating, like in an express segment, which is part of load business and express, that is completely different, and we seen the growth in like in FY22 we grown around 28%, and FY23 we grown 16%, and this year the only challenges. So we can say yes, and obviously like Mr. our MD has said, we are in a right running in a both way. We need in a growth and as well as profitable growth. We are not compromising on a margin level. So that sense in a challenging time, and you know, other guys like going up and then going down heavily and then come up again and then. So that's why we are not going. We are consistently, you know. So our strength is our employee network, our branch network, which is owned by us, and sustainability of all complete, you know, this supplier side. We are also having the like long relationship with them. Our relationship with our like SME customer is intact. Like other rightly, someone has rightly said, no one is really able to maintain their level of business with them. They're facing a lot of challenge, but we not, because we, since last 2 decades, we have a good relationship with them, and that's why we are opening up the branches. If we deal with only a big customer, then we don't need the branch network. So in that sense, yes, we are differentiate ourselves in a many terms. Other biggest aspect, you know, everyone is talking about like IT improvement, but we are talking about like, you know, operation efficiency. That's why in this B2B industry, we are the only one to putting this automation in the sorting center. So that's I can say, yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this one last question from Akash from Dalal & Broacha. We will not be able to take any more further questions. Akash, please proceed with your question.
Yeah, thanks for giving the opportunity once again. Just wanted to ask regarding the EBITDA margins. You know, a couple of quarters back, we were promising that due to the automation centers and operational efficiency of the sorting center, we would be able to scale those margins to 17.5 to 18% in the longer term. But now we have changed our stance. So, I mean, I just wanted your comments on that.
So, yeah, you rightly asked. So, basically, you know, our cost reduction due to that automation, we taken a target of like 35 to 40 basis point reduction, and we already did of like 25% reduction in cost. So, these two things are simultaneously, obviously, supposing we could not have this automation, then we will not be able to even what kind of margin we right now have. So even to maintain the kind of margin level of 16% is really challenging in this year. You can see drop of these other players is heavily drop of like 40-50%. So that is the or other aspect of that, the service level what we are providing to customers. So our resilience with this, you know, all kind of customer due to this, you know, efficiency we created through this, you know, automation is really fantastic, and customer admire that. And so that's why I think it is we are able to, in spite of that, there is a flattest growth, we are able to maintain margin levels. I can say. So for, again, Mr. Chandar has, you know, mentioned in time to come, you have, obviously we want to be back to that trajectory of, you know, 17% to 18% margin back.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Please.
Thank you. That was the last question for the evening. For any unanswered or follow-up questions, you may get in touch with Naveen Agarwal at SKP Securities. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Agarwal for closing remarks.
I must thank everyone for participating in DCI Express con call for the financial year 24 quarter 3. We have been experiencing a tough quarter and a year, yet we have maintained our margins, and we strive to always keep our shareholders and our vendors and our customers a top priority. With that, I must thank you all.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much. On behalf of SKP Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.